This is Long Shots, VSiN's premier golf betting podcast. Here's Matt Brown, Wes Reynolds, and Kelly Bidlin.
Hello, and welcome to the Long Shots Golf Betting Podcast here on the VSiN Podcast Network. Matt Brown, Wes Reynolds coming to you, the Wyndham Championship edition. And it might be a funky Wyndham Championship here, Wes. You and I talking right before we got going. And guys, there's a hurricane over on the East Coast. I'm sure if you live on the East Coast, you're well aware of this. If you don't live on the East Coast, check the weather report and you can see what's going on over there, Wes. Neither you and I are weathermen. All we can do is go to websites and see what they say. But usually when it says 100% chance of rain, it is going to rain. Yeah. And then on Friday, it says like 90% chance of rain as well. So, you know, you and I waited until Wednesday. We wanted to see if we could get any sort of clarity on this. Nothing from the PGA Tour as of this recording, which is about 9:30 a.m. Pacific time, but they're going to have to do something to this tournament. You and I don't know exactly what that is, whether that means extending it into the week, whether they're going to end up having to play 36 one day or something or whatever it is, because they can't skip it. They can't cancel it because it is the last event before the playoffs, but it just doesn't look like the weather is going to cooperate for this to be a normal tournament.
Yeah, I don't think so either. This is looking like it's a possible Monday finish. And because, as you mentioned, this is the ramifications are huge here this week, which is why a lot of players are here, because this is the last week to get into the top 70 for the FedEx Cup playoffs, which start next week. There's a 70, and because it used to be 125. And now they've cut it down to 70. Now, the guys in the 125 keep their playing privileges, but obviously don't get to make the playoffs. So they're going to make every effort to play all 72 holes. I think that this is probably going to be a Monday finish because the FedEx St. Jude is in Memphis, so not too far away from where they are this week in Greensboro. But, yeah, the Tropical Storm Debbie, I was looking at the AccuWeather, and, you know, a lot of rain on Thursday and Friday. The weekend looks a little bit more clear, but there's still some chances of precipitation there. So, you know, this course, it'll change how the course plays a little bit too, because it's going to be soft, I think, because these greens have decent speed to them, about 12 and a half to 13 on the stem. So that could slow it down. And, you know, if you're using any type of statistical analysis, you're going to be thinking, okay, then maybe I want to look at the irons a little bit more. Maybe I want to look at the proximity a little bit more, because you're not going to get that firm and fast roll that you certainly would get in the fairway under normal conditions.
This is at Sedgefield Country Club. Guys, if you want to look up, if you're looking at the weather, Greensboro, North Carolina is at least going to give you a decent look as to what that looks like over there. Donald Ross, par 70, 71, 31. Wes, you mentioned just the way that this is going to go. I mean, we know for sure it's going to be wet. The other thing I think that this brings into consideration is, given how wet it is likely to be, and guys, when we're saying it's going to rain all day, like, they're talking about like 2+ inches of rain on Thursday. And so we have to assume it's going to be, you know, lift clean in place. And so we have to assume that it's going to put even more emphasis on hitting fairways, because, hey, if you're in the rough, you can't do that. If you're in the fairway, you're going to be able to pick your ball up, clean it, and set it down nice and perfect for you and all that. So, like, I put an even heavier emphasis, Wes, this week on driving accuracy and all the stuff than I probably have ever done, because, hey, look, if we're nearly all but certain it's going to be lift clean in place, then hitting the fairway is such a massive advantage, because you're going to be able to pick your ball up. You're going to be able to place it down nice and fluffy on the fairway and get a nice good lie. And these dudes that hit that, you know, that strike their irons are just going to have an, if you can hit the fairway and stripe your irons, you are just going to be so ahead of everybody else.
Yeah, no question about it. So yeah, like in my stat analysis, I did fairways gained. I did good drives gained because you do have some blind tee shots, and some of the fairways are on the narrow side. That Bermuda rough can kind of stick to that club if you're trying to get it out. So it's a little bit tricky. It's tree line fairways. And we know that this is a scoreable course. If you look at recent years, save for, I believe, one in like the last 7 years, you've had to be 20 under par or better to have a chance to win this thing. In fact, 20 under has been the winning score here the last 2 years, 20 under 260 to be exact. And as you mentioned with Sedgefield, par 70, 71, 31, So not a very long course, a Donald Ross original design, renovated by Chris Spence back in 2007. Yeah, the fairways are not exactly wide here, and you do have some rough that can be penal. Not a ton of bunkers, most of them actually in the fairway. And Bermuda green, 6,000 square feet, but they're fast. They're going to slow down, I believe, a little bit just because of the weather coming in. Course record here is a 59. That was Brant Snedeker when he won the 2018 Wyndham. So, yeah, not a very long course, very scoreable, but obviously the weather turns it a little bit upside down.
It really does. And guys, kind of a disclaimer for me on this tournament, this podcast, you'll notice will be a little bit shorter than we normally do. It'll be a little bit over. Cause like, so for me, golf betting's hard enough as it is, Wes. And like now,
last weekend, jeez.
Yeah. I mean, golf betting's hard enough as it is. And so now you add in all of these variables that we just have no idea what's going to go on. I mean, we know for sure this is very, very likely not to be your traditional Thursday to Sunday tournament. We know very, very likely that they are probably going to at some point have to play more than 18 holes in a day and all this, because it the other thing about it was like, but it can't go past Monday, right? So it's like it might go into Monday, but it can't go past Monday because you do have to get everybody to the next tournament. And so, I mean, you know, if Thursday's a washout, if Friday's kind of a start-stop type deal, you know, we're probably looking at 36 on Saturday, maybe more on Sunday so that they can get that Monday finish. And so for me, with so much weirdness and wonkiness, I'm probably just going to play a few outrights and call it a day this week. I don't want to play, you know, when there's the other thing this brings into play here, Wes, and this is something that guys, we just have to speculate on, right? But guys that are already qualified, Wes, like if this gets too wonky with the weather, they'll just drop out and leave. You know, like they'll just drop out and leave and go. And so that's the other problem with this too, is kind of like, hey, if this thing gets bumped back like a day and a half, somebody's going to say the juice isn't worth the squeeze and they're just going to quit. They're just going to leave, you know, they're just going to withdraw and go on. And so there's all kinds of stuff that we just can't handicap in all of this. And like I said, golf betting's hard enough.
Yeah. And look, obviously the guys in the top 70, you know, are certainly going to stick it out. Those guys, I think like maybe anywhere 60 to 80 that are right on the borderline, you know, are certainly going to stick it out. And you got some of these guys, by the way, there are a few that did play in the Olympic Games last week. Like I'm looking, Victor Perez is 71st in the FedEx Cup standings. Of course, Victor Perez made that run on Sunday to, you know, get on the periphery of medal contention in front of his home country. So look, there's some emotion for that too, for those that played in the Olympic Games. And then, you know, to kind of have to come down and it's like, okay, get back to business now, you know, get back to getting those points and earning the cards. So yeah, a lot of, you know, Johnny Vegas, who I was fortunate to hit on a couple weeks ago at the 3M, he's still only 67 in the points. So he is not guaranteed to move on to next week for the FedEx St. Jude. So yeah, there are guys, you mentioned a few guys. I think there are three ranked players, like Brian Harman is pretty safe. Robert McIntyre is pretty safe. They're here just trying to get a win and, you know, maybe just improve their point standings. But Those guys that are here, Sungjae Im, another one, of course, he is the tournament favorite. So, yeah, these guys, I think, are just trying to improve points. And some of them are like, hey, this is my last chance to get in these playoffs. There are some guys, too, trying to get in that 125. Now, that extends into the fall. They've done a new X Cup fall. So it's not like, oh, man, I lost my card. You know, if I'm not in the top 125, they still have a chance going into the fall. But only 70 to start the playoffs next week.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I just think that there are like, I mean, certainly some of those guys that you just mentioned, I think if it comes down to a point where it's just too cumbersome on them, they understand the like, you know, Sungjae's ninth in point standings right now. You know, so it's kind of one of those deals for him. It's like
he's just, you know, always played well here, so that's why he's here.
It's kind of like if this thing gets delayed a day and a half, he might just look at it and say, I'm better served to go and just start practicing, you know, for next week.
Shane Lowry, another one. Yeah. He's 10th in points.
Yeah, stuff like that. So just things to keep in mind, guys, as we move into this tournament as to why maybe me and Wes won't have as robust of a card as we normally do. Real quick, Wes, you mentioned some of the stuff that you threw into your model this week. Like I said, I was just very, very heavy on driving stuff and driving accuracy and driving, you know, good drives, things like that, whatever. I just want really, really, really want dudes that, and I'm speculating, guys, like, I don't know for certain they're going to play lift clean in place, but like anybody that's ever played on a wet, like semi-wet golf course knows what it can do to a golf ball. And this one's going to be soaked. And so I can only imagine. And so heavy, heavy emphasis on that for me. And then just, if that's the case, then I need dudes that are going to stiff that second shot. And so it's just, my model is almost all driving and approach this week with just sprinkles of other little things here and there. But like, it is maybe the most heavily lopsided model I've ever made in golf, because I know that I'm not playing placement market stuff this week too, given the uncertainty. So yeah, for me, it's just like, all right, let's throw some guys out there that can drive it and can hit some irons, and let's hope we can hit an outright and we move on to a little bit more stable situation next week.
Yeah, I think it's best to keep it pretty simple this week. Look, I have approach in there. You know, you look at the past winners, and they're usually ranked pretty high in approach. Lucas Glover actually led the field in his win here last year for the week. Fairways gained or fairways hit, whatever you want to term it as, a good drive percentage, good drives gain. I did a little just for context, just to look at it. Strokes gained par 4, 400 to 450, because you have 9 of the 12 par 4s that are of that range. And also did a little bit of Bermuda putting, not as much though with the weather, because the greens probably are not going to be as fast. And then just the general scoring ones, birdie or better, bogey avoidance, I think, you know, were decent to look at in context, but nothing that I really went knee deep in the weeds. I guess if you want to, you could look at some of the proximity buckets. I didn't necessarily, but, you know, with the fact that you're not going to get as much roll on these greens. So, you know, you're not going to be able to spin them as much. So a lot of times these irons with soft greens, they're going to stick for the most part. So, you know, you want to, I think, definitely look at that.
Yeah. So for me, you know, the model, the way it turned out, in one of the versions I ran, Johnny Vegas was first overall. I'm not going to say Johnny Vegas can't win two tournaments in a row, but Wes, he did go 7 years between victories.
Yeah,
so
I got mine back on Johnny Vegas at the 3M in Minneapolis. So I don't know if I need to go back in for seconds.
Yeah. It's kind of one of those things where I'm like, you know, I am not the guy. I understand it's not the, I don't play the, hey, it's hit black 14 times in a row, it's got to be red. No, right. No, it doesn't. It's, you know, it's the same odds every single time. But typically if a guy goes 7 years between victories, it's kind of like, you know, everything's got to run super pure. And I just don't know if two tournaments in a row, everything's going to run super pure for Johnny Vegas.
And so it's not like he's not going to try, but he's also got to be thinking, you know what, if I make the cut this week, I'm in the playoffs.
And
that's basically all he has to do at 67th.
Right. He doesn't have to be super aggressive. He just needs to play within himself and make sure that he makes cuts. So yeah, I'm not going to go there with all that. I mean, the guys with this field at the top of the model are the guys you would expect, right? I mean, like I said, Vegas, Sungjae, Aaron Rye, Akshay Bhatia, Shane Lowry. I mean, like these are all the dudes, and the odds reflect that, right? I mean, like, you know, like these are all the guys at the top of the odds board. It's a fairly weak field, so that's what you would kind of expect this week in all of that. So I actually didn't really stick to the top of the board. Where did you start your card, and what did you end up with in your account?
Yeah, I went mid range, and look, I can't argue against Sungjae, because he was at the top, and his form is just really good. I believe I think it's like 5 of the last 7 events that Sungjae, by the way, has top 10s. So runner up here 2 years ago, a couple other top 10s here at Greensboro. So he certainly made sense. Siwoo is a former winner here. He certainly made sense. But I started off in the mid 30s with a couple guys, Christian Bezuidenhout, 35-1, who doesn't really have great form here necessarily, was 16th last week. Another guy coming back from the Olympic Games, finished 16th for South Africa, did have Saturday's second lowest round of 64. Really good short game. You know, I wonder if that advantage, and this was before I saw the weather forecast that I played these, if it's a little bit mitigated, you know, his great putting and great around the green, so they could be a little bit slower. But I think he could go well this week. And then one guy that I know probably topped out in a lot of categories for everybody that's running stats this week is Aaron Rye at 35-1. Really good summer. Hasn't missed a cut since April. Runner up in Detroit. fourth at the CJ Cup in Dallas, fourth at the Scottish Open, seventh at the John Deere, 19th at the US Open. That's his best ever major championship finish. One of the best drivers on the tour from an accuracy standpoint. He's just a fairway and green finder. And on a soft course, I think that that could put him in some pretty good position here. So Aaron Rye, 35-1. Eric Cole, 70-1, last year's PGA Tour Rookie of the Year. Disappointing season, even though he's in the, you know, solidly in the top 70, mm-hmm. is going to be in the playoffs. Top 10 at the Rocket Mortgage, top 10 at the Deer, T14 last year. I think that he can contend in a little bit of a downfield. Going back to one that we saw at the 3M Open, and maybe this is a little bit risky considering the 3M Open was his first top 10 since last November, but Matt Kuchar, who is trying to keep his own streak alive. He is the only player on the PGA Tour to make the FedEx Cup playoffs every single year since they started in 2007. Now, he's going to have to probably win the darn thing if he wants to make the top 70. He's 111th in the standings, but led the field in approach, led the field in greens and regulation at the 3M Open at TPC Twin Cities. Putting is still near the top almost every single week. If you ever use putting, Matt Kuchar is always right up there. So Matt Kuchar, 80-1. Andrew Putnam, 90-1, who is actually 72nd in the FedEx Cup standings. So just a decent finish will get him in the top 70. But if you look, he was second on approach at the Barracuda this past month. He was seventh at the 3M Open. So this is a guy that's really hitting his irons well. And I think that's recent enough for him to indicate that that might continue. And then Ben Coles, 100-1. If you might remember Ben Coles, that he really probably had the CJ Cup, Byron Nelson in Dallas won, and then made a mess of the 18th and settled for runner-up behind Taylor Pendriff. Could contend for another one here, though. He's accurate with the driving. He is second on the PGA Tour this season in driving accuracy. Grew up, actually, in nearby Cary, North Carolina, about an hour away. Made his PGA Tour debut in this event in 2012. So kind of a home game for him. So I played that angle a little bit. So Ben Coles at 100-1. I didn't go as deep on this card just because I think of the weather and if I even have any placements, it might be like one or two. It won't be like my usual allotment.
Yep. Same with me. I have five outrights, and Wes, I started my card at 55-1. I would like to add in here, guys, for everyone that likes it whenever any of us agree here on the podcast. I also have Ben Coles. It was Ben Coles rated out in one of my models, Wes, Ben Coles at 100-1. And this is when, like, I always talk about, like, you know, when there's too big of a discrepancy between where he shows up in the model and the odds. Ben Coles is eighth overall in one of my models, eighth, and he's 100-1. Right. And so, like, again, with the heavy emphasis on the driving and the approach and, you know, sprinkles again in the other spots, Ben Coles just like way too long of odds comparatively to where he showed up in the model for me. So I also do have Ben Coles. My first guy, 55-1, Luke Clanton. I ran a model over at our friends at BetSpurts, which they have some different stats that you can throw in comparatively to what's over at Rick's site and whatever. And like, again, this is why I like comparatively to go in and really look into some stuff like that. Luke Clanton, number one in my model over on BetSpurts. And then I went and looked and like, why wouldn't he is that high over on Rick's site? And then it was because some of the stats I put in over on Rick's site, he didn't have enough rounds to qualify. Right. And so it bumped him way down. But then the ones that did show up, he was very high in the rankings. And I'm like, oh, okay. So that's why, whatever. So Luke Clanton probably would have been, had he had enough minimum rounds to qualify for the stuff that I put in over, probably would have been inside the top six or seven in the model over there too. So for me, he 55 could go, to one for him.
He could go Nick Dunlap this week. Yeah. Of course, Dunlap won the American Express when he was still playing college golf at Alabama and then turned pro a couple weeks later. Luke Clanton, by the way, still a college player, yes, still an amateur player at Florida State. But this guy's had a couple top tens this summer. So I'm not mad at it here. I think he could certainly go low.
You're looking here and it's just like, I mean, in a field of pro golfers, and I understand it's not the deepest field, but, you know, he's first over the last 24 rounds off the tee. He's first in ball striking. He is eighth in approach. He is third in birdie or better percentage. Like, I mean, again, it's just like, he's just a very, very, very good golfer. And so could things get wonky and him win? Maybe so. So 55-1 on him. Doug Gim at 70-1. Anytime your emphasis is on accuracy and iron play, Doug Gim's going to get there. Look, Doug Gim putts like ass, I know, but like maybe that's mitigated this week with the greens slowing down a little bit, considering they're going to be super soggy and things like that. So maybe it's not as bad for him. I get why Doug Gim's win equity is not incredibly high, but at the same time, it's 70-1. So, you know, I'll take that risk with the dude who rates out just so high in the other two spots that I'm looking at. Andrew Novak, yet another one. Like, look, let's just, again, driving accuracy, iron play. Driving accuracy, iron play. Now, is there deficiencies in all of these guys' games elsewhere? Yes, absolutely. But I told you, I just so heavily ranked those two and see if maybe one of those guys can get hot with some of these other things that they're not necessarily great at on a week-to-week basis. And then I mentioned Coles at 100-1. And then the last one, Patrick Fishburne, 110-1. Patrick Fishburne, fourth overall.
Yep.
In one of the models that I did, and then was, let me scroll down, and then 11th overall in the other one. So, I mean, like, again, just a dude that has been a ball striking machine. And so with that, I'll take my chances again on a guy that Wes, he's actually shown up a couple of times too.
Yeah. I played him actually the last couple of events. I had him at the Barracuda, where he ended up finishing third, and I also had him at the 3M, where he was, I think, in the second to last group. I think he was T5 or T6. I don't have the finish form list right in front of me, but he was in the mix. He was on that first page of the leaderboard, the last two times. So what that did, that got him comfortably inside the 125.
Yep.
So he's going to keep his card and keep his playing privileges and probably play the fall schedule and improve that point standings. But look, still a shot to get in the top 70. And guy's a big hitter too off the tee. He's got some power, and you know, was very impressed. Just was a couple birdies short to win at the Barracuda, but he was right there.
Yeah. So those look, like I said, not a robust card for me this week, a lot of uncertainty. And with that, like, you know, like I said, golf betting's hard enough as it is. So I'm not going to like waste, money just kind of throwing darts and things like that. These were mainly plays where the odds for me didn't match where these guys were showing up in the model. If Wes and I add anything, follow us on the Twitter machine, look over on VSiN.com. We'll be sure and get it up over there if we decide to add. But if additional news comes out, we'll be sure and put that out on Twitter as well. So just be following us over there. As always, guys, this podcast is absolutely free. So do appreciate you subscribing, rating, reviewing, helping us climb those charts out there. That is always appreciated. Wes, we're going to give it our best. And like we said, if we add anything, we'll throw it over there on beast.com. For Wes, I am Matt. Good luck on all your Wyndham bets.